All right, so this is class one of the 10th dimension, Beyond Destiny, part one, Beyond Self. Welcome, beloved ones. This is Mark. You are already well beyond self. You are moving in extraordinary directions with no speed or distance. The 10th dimension is about relationships, relativity. And in our last courses, we helped you understand that it's not human relationships, it's not even earthly relationships, it's relationships to all of who you are, to all of Gaia and who it is, and then finally to the stars and beyond and beyond and beyond. We want you to understand that yourself as an object, as a person, as an identity, is impermanent. That part of you that is permanent is that part of you that is in relationship, because that part of you isn't an object. It is that's a hard one. That it is presence without physicality. You equate and have equated presence with your being, with yourself. And that's a very good start. We can't expand you until we have you feel present in yourself, because presence is something you usually don't feel. So we start by having you feel present, whatever you is and whatever the vessel is here on earth. Once you're comfortable with that, we begin to lift you out of self into presence that is non-limited. Your awareness becomes not so much a filter, but a perspective. Let's say that again. Right now, your awareness, your identity filters the quantum universe. Because you cannot handle more input than you're handling right now. The quantum universe, as you experience the quantum universe in new ways, you have many perspectives and have the opportunity to lose your filter. So we're going to play with filter, because that's how you're comfortable, and move you in and out of filter into perspective, and then out of perspective into all perspective, or into presence or awareness. Actually, let us clarify. Awareness you have when you have moved beyond filter to perspective. Presence in that vast perspective is greater than awareness. Awareness is a perspective. Presence is a being outside of yourself. It's the beingness of that which you can be aware. Usually you think of enlightenment as awareness, light. You can see things, you know things. That is really only the first step. Awareness, once it's grasped, becomes presence, but universal presence, beyond universal presence. We're not sure if you're following, but we are leaving the or creating the groundwork for what we will be building on, at least in this first 8 classes of Beyond Self. So we've basically tantalized you into saying yourself is a set of filters. What you've been doing to be a happy human being is changing the settings of your filters so that you can filter out drama and hate and negativity and filter in more of goodness, kindness, universality. So you've been using your filters to grow yourself. And we're going to play with getting you outside your filters. We're not sure how to do this, but you are an experimental group. Let us just say about humanity's rapid change in the last 4 months. It is much easier to find the field that is awakening. It is stronger. The field is more magnetic. So if you just think about bringing yourself to, I'll call it this high field. I have no name for it. When you get near this high field, and of course it gets higher and higher as your skills increase, it magnetically pulls you to it. So you and other people will need less skills to get to the same place that a year ago you needed more discipline, more skill, more practice. Because the magnetism of these higher places was not instigated yet. There was not enough higher gravity to pull you to it. There was so much lower gravity to pull you away from it. But that has changed. And we will find rapid personal changes. You're not going to see, as fast as you would like, rapid institutional or government changes. But what you will see is people you know who've been on a fairly even keel on their track will all of a sudden discover something, whether it's spirituality or something, that brings them along to a state of higher happiness, of greater appreciation for who they are and greater appreciation for others. So hold the space that people that you think are lost causes are not lost causes. As long as they're breathing, they have a chance for phenomenal breakthroughs that weren't possible even 4 months ago. What is also happening, because of the strength or magnetism of these higher fields of which you are now a part, is there's a greater opening for all humanity for beings who live in other dimensions, what you might call fifth dimensional or multidimensional beings. There's much more opportunity for interaction and support, communication, communion, and reacquainting with beings who perhaps are human, have been human, but have already moved to other dimensions. So don't be surprised if your visions, your meditations, and your dreams take on a rather wacky look at times. It is really the opening up of your abilities to interact with species and beings who could never reach you in the density. Having said that, there will be more people who believe in the things you believe in, because they're going to be interacting with beings that they didn't believe existed. So there's going to be more interspiritual interaction that's going to surprise people and bring them along. There's going to be more near-death experiences without the need to die or get near death. they will just have the insights, the clarity, the opening that people report if they've had near-death experiences. So be on the lookout for evidence of these changes. And you can pat yourself on the back because all of these changes are interactive. They are created because of you and all the people who are yearning to grow and on their own spiritual path. There is not one path that will get you there. Awareness and presence are gifts of anything that's alive. And there are infinite tracks to this space. Which is excellent because with infinite tracks, they all merge together to be a completely wide road. We'll invite you now to a meditation. We'll begin reminding you of the eighth dimension, the quantum void where you were able to select from infinite probabilities. You were able to sense that there was not just one possibility, the one you're standing on. So we want you to travel back. It's not back. We want you to travel to the threshold of the quantum void, where matter gives way to probability. And we invite you to just stay at that threshold. Not to move into the infinite probabilities. You might imagine that to your back is all that is linear and limited, all that is within space-time, and ahead of you is this vast world of interconnected probabilities. And at the threshold, you can sense both. So what we'll do for the next few minutes is have you play with sensing the entire linear world, that which is limited, that which is material and within space-time, and at the same time, without leaving that world, grasping, holding, being the quantum world. Like many of our meditations, there's nothing to think or do here. Simply be here while a reconfiguration magically happens. So you're vast, as in the quantum world, but you're still very much you in the singular identity. Dear ones, what you may be noticing is there's a merging of the two states of being. There's a merging of the lower seven dimensions with the dimensions above the eighth. So you are both. We have taught the dimensions as if they were layers because we had to divide them up that way in order to give you experienceable slices. But we want now to help you understand that they never were sliced. They never are separated. So at this moment, you're on the edge of the lower dimensions and the higher dimensions, and you are aware of both, aware of all. You're not losing your singularity to be quantum. Relax. This is not necessarily a visual or a mental meditation. You may sense, have a subtle sense that something's opening up, that there's bleed-throughs between dimensions. Relax even more. You don't need to direct this. It's in fine hands. You simply experience whatever is there. So your logical self may feel confused because you have an identity, but it doesn't seem to be stationary. It doesn't seem to be singular. In fact, you probably can't find where you are in this mix. You can't find a perspective. You can't find anything that's stable. Yet, something is having this experience. So if you find yourself unsettled, that's exactly what we're going for. And now you may be noticing that the velocity of the unsettledness, of the inability to have a set place of awareness, is going to be more difficult to find. It's going to be more frenetic, more unstable. Just go with this. So we're increasing the impossibility of this. So we're going for frenetic, unsettled, where you can't find a stable place to identify with. You might feel that neurons are popping in and out, and they're not just in your brain, but the neurons are popping in and out throughout the cosmos. Your cosmic brain may feel like it's on fire. Now notice if somehow things are smoothing out. Again, these are very subtle senses. Don't fight yourself to create a strong sense of this. You're here, so you are getting it. So there's still this multifaceted sense of awareness where there's no singular identity, there's no singular stopping point or central point, but it's the experience itself seems to be smoother. We won't talk for a while. We will be working individually with each of you. Just relax and notice anything you notice. There's no real way to do this meditation, no real right way. Relax, you're all trying too hard. Simply be spacey. Now find a feeling of the space you are in. How you would describe it, how you feel it. And you might find that that isn't stable, that you're still feeling or experiencing many things at once. Let your breathing deepen. Bring your awareness back to your heart. But notice your awareness is no longer limited to being back at your heart. Your awareness includes that which is having the awareness. Slowly drift yourself to whatever space you choose to be your space for the next 5 or 10 minutes. It may be a new space that you've never experienced before or held on to before, but it won't be the space from which you left. Finding a smoothness, even if there's instability. If there's a lot going on, don't try to settle the instability. Just incorporate it so that the experience is smooth. Smoothly unstable. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. The experience isn't going to stop because your eyes are open. And this is an experience that's probably very difficult to describe. We're going to take a few comments so we can ascertain how this experiment worked. We have 8 classes to try to get you to the spaces that we need to absolutely change you from being as wondrous as you are to being as wondrous as you can be. So let's hear from a few of you anything about the experience. We're taking a whole different concept than we've taken before, so we're trying to find out if it's successful.
This is Judith. So to begin with, I could feel at my back sort of this low, hummy, chattery, like just like noise, like clutter noise kind of thing, but not noisy.
In your back, in your spine?
At my back.
Okay.
So behind me.
Behind you. Thank you.
And in front of me, it was just vastness. And I guess it was me because there was a circle, like a circle, and I was standing and as though that was the threshold. Mm-hmm. Only then I realized, for some reason, then I was looking at it and then I was it. I mean, then I was in that place. So rather than observing, I was it. And so then through the silence, sort of various subtle energies, and my head was moving, doing this kind of thinking around, and very slowly. And my hands did some movements. And then at the end, it was pink cotton candy. And then the pink faded, so it was just the cotton, it was the texture and the feel of it, not sticky, but like filaments or little particles of some kind. I can't describe it, but so it was kind of both. So like when you eat cotton candy, you know, sometimes it feels like sugary in your mouth. So it felt, I mean, I could sense.
We don't know. We have never eaten cotton candy.
Well, you don't know what you're missing, Mark.
Johnette assures us that it is true.
Yeah. So it was kind of both filament, but also this sort of textury of sugary, but clear, so I could see.
So let us just say the cotton candy analogy is an excellent one, because that is a pretty good example of how the interactions in the universe feel like. Their air and their connections, it's thin filaments of beingness. And it's actually an extremely good analogy, because you take grains of sugar, which are objects, they are static, and you spin them with a great deal of energy, and you can no longer find the object itself, the grains of sugar. The quality of the sugar is in this, but it's air and its interconnection and totally different experience than if you put your spoon in a sugar bowl. So, and the what makes the difference was movement and energy. So it's an interesting analogy. Thank you. And the color pink or any color doesn't matter.
I got the sense it was just to so I could see that it was pink, that it was cotton candy.
Yes.
And
thank you.
I didn't need the color anymore.
Who else? A sense of your experience.
This is Mark, and for me it was in the beginning like a white, just a white with golden sparkles, and then as it became more and more present, there was more beingness and connectedness. And then it became more like a tangible resonance of connection in my being.
And where was your being at the time?
It was like everywhere. It was like there wasn't any limit, because I was in all places, all times.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. You see, as we've been moving through dimensions, you've always kept a singular observer self. Some part of you was observing that you had gone to this dimension or that space or this dimension. So you may not have felt yourself. You may have dissolved in many of the meditations we've had over the last years. But the singularity was that who was aware that you have dissolved. And what we wish to do is dissolve the singularity of the observer, dissolve the singularity of the witness self. So the witness self was always there cataloging the experience. You say, wow, I'm everywhere. But who is seeing I am everywhere? That self is what we want to connect you to, reconnect you to, so that you can get outside of the identity of limitation and become more than your divine self. Your vocabulary has nothing, no words to describe it. But as you open to that, that other kind of beingness transforms everything. And it doesn't take time to transform it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You see, it's getting harder and harder for us to teach through Jeanette's vocabulary and your understanding, because we're going where no man has gone before.
And Dias, just the feeling of vastness and complexity. From Lena, at the start I felt like a tree with a short, thick trunk and this huge treetop spreading out and out, spacey-like, and I finally just felt vastness and many non-definable connections going on.
You all are doing a very good job with describing that which is indescribable.
Eva, imagine a quantum version experience of having a marble that is moving around or being moved around in a round bowl. Complete fluidity and non-localness, yet still registering the fluid experience. Whew, that probably makes no sense.
Well, it does, because that goes with what Mark said, that what we want you to look at, what is registering the fluid experience. That's new for you all. Thank you.
From Donna Gita, perception of being the portal, not between one or the other state, just these both states, and at the same time, nothing.
Thank you. So, we call this course, the series Beyond Destiny, which has a time factor in it. It has an action factor and a time factor. You are pioneers in creating a humanity that moves off of the timeline of the destiny that it has been traveling on. But you cannot change the timeline of destiny for humanity while your awareness is predominantly human. Your awareness must escape the entire fabric of the world where destiny is played out. And when you escape that, you escape you. But then you are awareness and presence, and you're being human, yet moving into awareness and presence in words and places we have no words for. Your being there begins to unravel the manifest destiny part of the manifest destiny, that it is not a required trajectory. We hope you understand that everything we're doing is to help change the course of humanity. But you are the humans who must do it. We can only be teachers and way showers. No one outside of human bodies right now has the sovereignty to make the changes that are impossible. What you will feel is a growing uncertainty as to, in these meditations, we don't think it will bleed over to ruin your life, but a growing uncertainty as to who you are. Does it matter? What is thinking, and does it matter? So it's not going to bleed through to your life, except to the extent where you won't worry so much about who you are and what thinking you think matters. So our premise is that all that we are experimenting with will make your life smoother. And we hope you recall that at several points in that meditation, there we were interjecting frenetic energy, energy that you couldn't hold, so that we could get you to stop trying to hold it and get to another quantum level where there's a smoothness and an ease, because you're not trying to move things around. We had to say relax, relax many times because you were trying to think your way into it. We got most of you most of the way, but we'll have many meditations to find trapdoors to get you to these spaces of unbelievable presence. And we say unbelievable underlined because it can't be thought or believed. We will take some questions now. Questions about this sort of thing, not random questions.
So you said that only those with bodies have the sovereignty. So my question is, I think, what is the value of the body in this process that we have the privilege of having, ones of us that have the bodies?
The value of the body in the process of this quantum transformation?
Yeah, with the transformation that is going on with humanity. You said that only those with
who are part of humanity can change humanity. So without a body, you are not part of humanity. Even the ones who've had bodies, they are ancillary and helpful in all of it, because there's all kinds of beings who are part of the team. But it has to be instigated by people who have current bodies.
That makes sense.
So that's the value, is that you are the instigators because you are here in your meat bodies. Never doubt the value of your body. Thank you. Other questions about this?
From Karen, I was unaware of my physical points, but always felt cuddled in bubbles. Bubbles with a substantial feel, not hollow. After we opened our eyes, I felt I was inhabiting the spaces between atoms and molecules.
Well said. In fact, did any of the others remember feeling a density even in the spaciness toward the end? We're getting some heads shaking. Yes. Yes. Well, you did very well for the first exploratory meditation of the first of these 24 classes.
Do you have another question?
We'll take another question.
From Andias, Is it that we, as incarnated beings, have the authority to choose different timelines for humanity?
That is too linear a way to look at it, because from a human perspective, you choose timelines. You think, I don't like that one, I like that one better, this would be really cool. But from where you can actually change timelines, they're not chosen. humans choose. But we're helping to awaken the part of you that is greater than your humanity. But because you are sovereign and solid in this humanity, you get to drive the bus. The change in timelines are so quantum, they're not chosen. Because choosing is a linear either or, it's a non-quantum action. Maybe we didn't understand your question, so you can reformat it based upon our answer.
From Donna Gita, what is consciousness in regard to presence and awareness outside of filters?
Right now, as big as you can get your consciousness, it's still within the world of filters. Your consciousness. Generally, we use the idea of consciousness to be the space into which you can grow your awareness. So consciousness has two meanings in how we often use it. It is your awareness, and it's the space into which you can be aware. That space is always bigger than your awareness. Can you read that question again?
What is consciousness in regard to presence and awareness outside of filters?
Generally, you think of consciousness as expanded awareness. Presence takes it to another level of being all that expanded awareness. It's a solidity in the nothingness. It's not just awareness. Awareness is seeing or knowing. Presence is being. So it's the difference between knowing and seeing or experiencing, because even experiencing isn't being, because the experiencer is a perspective of awareness. Once you get to being at whatever level, there ceases to be any experience, because the experience requires a point of reference. So more and more we're going to take you to places where you have no experience, and that objective part of you thinks you're asleep or you've messed up, but really we're moving you to a place of awareness that you are, or presence that you are, rather than you're experiencing. In the past, all of our meditations, you've experienced. And we've asked what your experiences are. That has been the fundamental backdrop of where we need to go next, which is move beyond you as an experiencer. Move beyond you as something that is aware. Now, we'll just do it in bits and pieces. Obviously, you'll keep your day job of being humans. We're just opening the field of where humanity can go and humanity can operate. So we're breaking through barriers for humanity to be in places that humanity never had beingness before. So, complicated question, a complicated answer. And we will keep adding to that.
So, and Diaz has come back after the comment. Yes, my question was not about choosing, but about the connection to Earth to have a different authority. about timelines for Earth than not incarnated beings, or how you would call consciousness like you?
Oh, read that again. These are complex questions.
Yes, my question was not about choosing, but about the connection to Earth, to have a different authority about timelines for Earth than not incarnated beings, or how you would call consciousness like you.
We're not certain we can follow that question. Kate?
I think what he's asking is in reference to the question about the body.
Can you please put that microphone over to Kate for now while she repeats this?
Did you want me to read his one of your first time?
Let's have Kate say this and then we'll get that.
I think he's referring back to the question that I asked and asking for more clarification on that answer by saying, do incarnated beings have more authority to work with Gaia because of that cooperation?
Than disincarnated beings.
Than disincarnated to work with the timelines.
Let's answer that question and we'll go back to his. That is the point we're making. Incarnated beings have authority that other dimensional beings, even though they have vast power, vast skills, magicians, wizards, they don't have the authority to change something that is fundamental in the 3D world that you live in. So that is one answer. So this gives you more power because there are many multidimensional beings who have great skill, great scope, because they have been in many worlds, in many dimensions. However, they do not have sovereignty or authority, that would be a better word, for making the break or initiating the breakthroughs for humanity or choosing. Well, again, the breakthroughs won't be chosen. Humanity, incarnated humanity, must initiate. Once you initiate change, then beings who are helpful can help. All right, let's go back and see if...
No, he said...
Yes, Kate.
That was his point.
Thank you for translating.
So we definitely got there. From Vern, during the flow of energy that I experienced, which was erratic, I experienced resistance or deflection of some components. What might this mean?
Yes, we were trying to create all of that. We were trying to create resistance, unsettledness, discomfort, so that you would let go of that. We were trying to intensify all of that so you'd go, oh, and move to whatever the next level was. So those things in themselves had no meaning. We were just trying to unsettle you. And so each of you had a different experience as to what unsettled you, unnerved you. Thank you.
Good time for a break.
All right. We are grateful and we thank you. Man, I thought Mark was hard to channel before. It kind of reminds me of in the very, very beginning when he told me to get up in the middle of the night. Oh, sorry. So it kind of reminds me of in the very beginning when he had me get up in the middle of the night because he was going to have me do things that I couldn't understand. Well, we're there again. It's not quite the middle of the night, but I certainly don't understand it. You know, bits and pieces of what he says, I get it. But, you know, I'm with you. I'm not Mark. I'm just flopping around in these dimensions at the same time trying to understand what he's trying to show me to show you. So I'm bipolar, so I'm having my experience of floundering around, and then also trying to be him and find words. It's a wonder any of this happens, isn't it? It's pretty crazy. All right. Well, and enjoy the lovely snacks we have. See you in 20 minutes.